Alright, so we're going to do a little bit different thing this section.
So it's going
to be a little more practical than in a different way than what Mark did.
So,
and it's going to be a little more interactive from the very beginning. I want to tell you just one little thing about myself that might help you understand my approach to this. My first job when I became out of college was I taught communication at the university. And between being a teaching assistant and being a professor, I taught public speaking to probably several thousand students over a period of 9 years.
10 years.
So when we talk today about focusing your sermon, we're going to be looking at it from a communication perspective. And effective ways of helping your audience understand your subject. And Mark already stole one of my points. Because it was the point about what do you want people to say on Tuesday when they're asked what the preacher preached about. And I know what the wrong answer is. I'm not really sure. If that's the answer, your sermon had problems. Alright, so we're going to start with a kind of an illustration of, and get you to help me with how to organize a presentation. We're going to start with something I think a lot is pretty aware, your country's pretty aware of down off Cape Town, and that is sharks. So let's say you want to give a speech, not a sermon, because we wouldn't give a sermon on sharks. But how would you organize a sermon on sharks? What would your main points be? Anybody?
Defining sharks.
Okay, Brother David?
Where does he stay? Where does the shark stay?
Where are they? Because that's what we don't want to be, right? What else?
Eden.
How dangerous they are.
Dangerous. Okay, one more.
How to escape from them.
Oh, how to escape. That's a good one. Okay, I'm going to stop right here. What problem do you already see with this? There's no organization. How long could we go on with these points? We could go on for the next 10 or 15 minutes and just get a long list of points, right? Why is that?
The topic is too broad.
I led you astray. So let's start with focusing that topic. Give me a focus for that topic. Still talking about sharks.
Escaping from sharks.
How to escape sharks. Okay, what's our main points for that one?
Now, let's go to my leg. I'm a puzzle,
stay out of the water. Identifying sharks.
Know when,
where.
Okay, so identify them first.
You must know what they are.
Okay, I think that's part of it. This is like identify them, we'll put that.
So,
maybe. Well,
how can we
avoid
the places where sharks are?
Okay.
Yeah, avoid where they are in the water.
Maybe more chocolate over there. All right, anything else?
What do you do when you come across one?
Alright. We're going to stop right there for a second, because this is working out perfect. Never quite sure how it's going to work out, but this is good. Let's assume this was our presentation we wanted to make. Let's critique this. What's good, what's bad about this? Let's start with the overall topic. How to escape sharks. Is that a good focus? A bad focus? A medium focus? What do you think about it?
Your third point's kind of doubling.
We're not there yet. Hang on to that. We're just right here, right now. Right here.
I think for now we can say it's okay.
How to escape sharks looks okay? Mm-hmm. We're just looking at the topic right now. It's just looks pretty good.
I didn't write any point. But Ngonyama has something
else.
The topic assumes that the audience knows about sharks. So now, the first one is just out of order, because if you start now identifying them, since people who expect people to know about sharks, is not in order.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think we're going to see that even a little bit more as we talk about these and how they relate to that. If you were to just, without looking, without knowing anything about these points here, do you think that might make a good presentation? How you can escape sharks? Especially if you're speaking to a group in Cape Town.
If you're talking to
the people in Cape Town, it will actually make sense. But if you're talking to someone in Limpopo, which is actually far away, they are far away from oceans of sea, then they will actually ask you a question. They will not ask you a question, what is shark? What are they?
Okay. Yeah, and we're... And that's a great point about applying it, a presentation or a sermon to your audience.
Yes.
And I'm sure Mark will address that at some point today. We always have to consider our audience. But for right now, let's assume that it is applicable to our audience. That might not be a bad focus. What we find, though, is when we start coming up with our points for that topic,
so
we might need to circle back and redefine that to help clarify that. I don't know how Mark does his sermons, but I find in my life sometimes that I sometimes have to tweak or massage the main point, the topic, and refocus it as I build the sermon out. So it's not, I've got it, and then I'm going to do all this, it's all going to fall in a neat place. Or sometimes some back and forth. Let me explain what I mean by that. We get to our first point that someone brought up. Know when they're there. How do I identify where sharks are? What does that tell us about our focus, about our main topic? What? How is it not clear?
Because it assumed that you knew sharks.
Okay.
And you have to escape
them.
Okay. Brother back there?
It's like, are we talking about avoiding sharks in general, or we are talking about shark attacks?
Exactly. That's where I wanted to get to. Thank you.
Sikhuluma ngokuthi sibavikela oshaka makunja noma sikhuluma ngokuthi sibabalekela uma behlasela na.
So, do I mean how to avoid sharks just in general, like don't go in the water there?
Ngabe ngithi angifuni ukuthi nje ngihlangane noshaka ngakho kufanele ngene emanzini.
Or I mean, I'm in the water and there's a shark right next to me. And I got to get away. I have to escape. So how might we, let's assume it's the second. How might we redefine that main point, that main topic?
How to survive a shark encounter.
Okay. How to survive a shark, I'm going to say attack.
Ma oshaka behlasela, uphepha kanjani uma oshaka ehlasela.
Okay. Does that better focus our audience into what exactly I want to talk about?
Ngabe lento siqoqo ndeke manje ukuthi yini ngifuna ukukhuluma ngayo mina.
Yeah, now, what does that tell the audience?
Ithini le nto kuba kwezethameli.
I'm in the water. I'm getting attacked. What am I going to do? And what does that do for our main point? Do we need this one anymore? We know when that's a shark. We have to worry about where they are. We know right where they are. Oh, what's happened with this one? That's really what we're talking about, isn't it? Right? So, as we start building our main points for our overall topic, we need to put ourselves in our audience's shoes and think about, does this make sense to them? We're going to talk about main points in a second. But do our main points relate directly to our topic. And we have to be very critical of ourselves. And sometimes that's easier than other times. Let's go ahead with this and try to do it for this topic. Alright. Hopefully we have some semi-shark experts here. Alright, we're going to do how to survive a shark attack. What's our first main point?
Butterfly,
you gotta decide, you stay in the
building. Okay, that's a possibility.
David?
Just stay calm, not sharp.
Okay, we're gonna put these over on this side.
Okay.
Fight or flight?
Yilwa, noma.
Stay calm.
I cannot stay calm.
Not with a shark attack.
Oh, the shark right there! Call about that!
I'm not a to shark. Oh, I think.
Yes, sir.
I'm just thinking whether we need an introduction to...
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
The introduction comes last.
We'll get to all about introduction.
We're just getting
main topic and main points. Joel?
I just
want
to point out that it's very hard to get the main points when you don't know about the topic.
That's a wonderful point.
It
relates back to what Brother Mark was talking about earlier. We have to study the Word and understand the Word.
Absolutely.
But bear with me now for point of illustration. What else might be a main point?
Punch it in the nose.
Yeah.
Right.
We've always heard that, haven't we? Punch.
Carry a knife?
Okay, well, that's like prepare. That's a different topic.
Okay.
That topic might be preparing to go in the water where there might be sharks. I have had the pleasure and the opportunity to visit Hawaii several times in my life. And the area that I go to is in Maui. And there have been close to a dozen shark attacks and two deaths in the last 6 months in that area. And most people, when they go into the water to swim, don't have a knife with them. It's true. Right there along Big Beach and everything.
I'm bringing a gun.
Can we think of anything else we might want with this? Appear dead.
Play dead.
We call that playing possum in America. Okay, now I'm no expert on sharks either. I only picked that because we see specials on TV in America about great white sharks off Cape Town. But these are some good starting points for what our main points might be, right? How do we get from here to 1, 2, and 3?
Sisuka kanjani ke lapha nasuka ku 1 sesofika ku 3.
Thank you. You can bring it back up next time.
We can group some of these things together.
Excellent. Sometimes we can group information together. Exactly right. Because what is our goal about main points?
To
have a place to put
To have a place for sub-points? Okay, well, yes, that's true. What else?
Amen.
Maybe a higher level than that.
They march to the conclusion.
They do that too.
Organization.
It's our organization. Why do we want organization?
Facilitates learning.
We want people to know something. We're trying to teach them something in our lessons, right? And main points help do what? They help provide that structure that people need to understand something. In America, we have a number assigned to each person when they're born. It's called a social security number. It's 9 numbers long. But that's not how it looks like on your social security card. That's what it looks like. It's divided into groups. 3, 2, and 4. We have 7-digit phone numbers. It's divided into a group of 3 and a group of 4. You think that's a coincidence? That is not a coincidence. There's research that dates back over 100 years. Aristotle talked about it 2,500 years ago. Aristotle was this big Greek guy a long time ago. And what does that research tell us? That shorter numbers are easier to remember than longer numbers.
There,
we had to do research to learn that. That's what I went to school for. Which tells us, it tells us something though, and we all probably know it. Mark does it. I mostly do. How many main points are we going to have? Three? Four? How about two? We have two. We'll never have one because if we have one, all we have is a topic. So we're going to have two, three, or four, and in extreme situations, you might have five.
But we like three
because why? It's easy to remember. It's easy to learn. It's easier for people to get it in their heads. And when we teach public speaking, we tell people to use something called a signpost. You see them on the highway. It says Ululu 35.
Ulundi.
Almost got it. Ulundi 35. Richards Bay 55.
Richards Bay 55.
It tells us how long you got to go. It helps us understand where we are. In speaking, we say, Point one. Our second point is, thirdly, we're going to talk about, so our audience can understand and know exactly where we are. And 3 points is great.
All right.
So we're going to look at these and we're going to organize them into, let's state 3 points. What do you say? How might we do that?
Offensive.
Oh, okay. It's like this.
To escape.
Offensive maneuvers.
In the defensive.
Which one does that take? What does that take over here? Takes punch in the nose for sure. Anything else over there?
Fight,
not part of that. Okay. Alright, what's our second point we might get?
You put the speed.
Oh, we might, since we had offense, we might go defensive, right? Alright, and what would be over here? Say calm.
Play dead.
Play dead. You know, so we've got some sub points over here.
Right?
We maybe have some illustrations. We certainly have verses if we're preaching a sermon. Alright. Our third point is,
you put the
disruption or causes.
If nothing else works, do this.
If those don't work,
I'll probably go and make sure it gets back to the beach.
Fold your insurance policy. Go file.
Anyway, so we might have offensive maneuvers, defensive maneuvers, last resorts, something like that. Scream for help.
If this is not
scream for help, and maybe trying to get to shore. So we've taken kind of this list, we've organized it into groups, we've come up with some main points. Now, the check is, does those all relate back to my overall topic? So how to survive a shark attack? Go on the offensive. Is that right? I think it does.
Right?
Right? Mm. Does be defensive help you survive? It might. Scream.
I'm
not sure that's going to help you survive, but it'll make you feel better. Alright, so we've done a pretty good job of from going from sharks and just hitting everything in the world to a narrower focus of how to escape sharks. So we started here, we went there, and we found out that still might be confusing to our audience. So we narrowed it even more. And now we can check it by do our main points all relate back to that. And if it does, and this seems like it captures most of the important information about that, we've done a really good job of focusing that presentation. What if we look at this and there's 10 more points we can think of that don't fit into these categories? What's the problem?
Still too broad.
still too broad. We haven't done a good enough job of focusing this yet. So we're
going
to go back and rework it a little
bit.
And this seems pretty easy to us. And the more you do it, probably the easier it gets. But I can tell you, I preached a sermon, I don't know, a year or so ago. And I was sitting there and I was struggling with how to do that. And I really wanted this point to be in it. And I wanted this point to be in it. And those points didn't seem to go together very well. But they were both really important. What was my problem?
It
was this up here. It wasn't focused well enough. I needed to redefine this. And be willing to say, I can't preach everything in one sermon. If you're
going to
be a preacher, take it from an elder and an audience member. You don't have to tell us everything you know about a topic in one sermon. We'll come back Sunday night and next Sunday and we'll listen to you some more. And besides, you're always going to be looking for topics. Just to divide that one into two will make your life easier. Alright. So that's with sharks. Now, what I'd like you to do is spend a few moments right now taking a sermon that you have. And I would like you to look at the focus of the topic and see if you have three main points that relate to that. If you didn't bring a sermon with you, that's okay, you can work on one here. Okay? That's something you've been thinking about. I want you to spend about 10 minutes working on this by yourself, James.
I wonder, of the three points, are people more likely to remember the first point or the last point?
Yes.
I'm telling you, yes.
There's an effect called primacy recency in presentations.
And
people tend to remember what you talk about first and what you talk about last. It's the middle that you remember the least. But a good presentation with three clear main points can sometimes overcome that, or often overcome that. And what we're not going to talk about today, is how to organize, what the order of these should be. What are some ways that cause you to order this first, second, and third?
Is it being there?
How do you decide what's first?
There's dependency. If the next point assumes the first point, then you have
to. If you got to know this before you know that, then you better talk about this first, right?
The order of the text.
The order of the text. Last night, if you, those of you who are here, I preached on Lord Save Me.
Well,
I better talk about Lord and then save and then me, right? I
mean,
it's self-evident what the order should be in that case. If it's a broader text, it's the same way. But sometimes we're talking about topics and not expository from the text. And there's lots of patterns that determine that. Sometimes it's the order that things happen, so it's chronology. We need to talk about what happened with the Assyrians before we talk about what happened with the Babylonians. Because that's the order in history that those things happen. Sometimes we might talk about a problem solution We need to talk about the problem before we can offer a solution. But sometimes we have a topic where it doesn't apply, none of those things apply. And so we have to think about almost common sense. What makes the most sense? And this is a perfect example of that. There might be some chronology here. We might want to be, you know, punch him in the face, the nose first. Before we play dead. Because if we play dead first, we may never get the chance to punch him in the nose. Because we might not be playing anymore. We might be dead. So you have to use some common sense. But I think most of the time that kind of falls out of what you're studying and what you're going to preach on. But the first and the last are what people generally remember most. Which talks to, we're not going to talk about this because it's really not about focusing the speech, it's more about an effective sermon overall. But an effective introduction is really good because why? It draws, it's at the beginning, so it has that portion to it. People are still awake. Just kidding about that.
Sometimes.
But it draws people into the sermon, into the topic. It engages them. And that's a great thing. Because it's at the beginning. And then a lot of preachers use a method called bookending. When they get to the conclusion, what do they do? They talk about, they make a connection between the sermon and the points they made relating back to the introduction. You've got those bookends to help frame the sermon and talk about how this illustration, the beginning, now makes sense and applies to us. It helps cement that thought in people's minds. But that's overall structure. And we're talking about focusing, so we won't talk about those. So I really would, like, let's make 5 minutes, and someone give me a couple of examples of lessons that you have. We'll put them on the board, and we'll have the group say, how does this hold up with this focus? Right. 5 minutes.
But there's something there. Somebody wants.
By the way, we could have used, and I didn't do this because I didn't want to get take a sidetrack. I really wanted to use a topic we didn't know much about. But I could have said, instead of written sharks up here, I could have started by writing Jesus. And we would have had the exact same problem of too large as we did with sharks. The principle is the same. Alright, 5 minutes. Work on your
Brother Masuku has something though.
Yes, sir.
If we say like things to do to survive a shark attack, and then write the sentences like in a way that we say these are the things that we need to do and write them in full. And then maybe if we had said how and simply write the sentences in such a way that would actually tell you what things or how you actually check the shark, would that make a difference?
Let's see if I understood your question. And that's a really another good way of helping to ensure that your main points relate to your topic, if I understand your question. And I think this is what you're meaning. Alright. So sometimes the way we word our topic influences how our main points might be worded. If our main topic is how to survive, maybe our point should be worded, we survive, one, by taking the offense.
Two,
by staying calm. And three, when all else fails, by screaming for help. Now we've worded our main points to be exactly coinciding with our topic. And that's a great thing to do because it helps us ensure that what we've defined this as is really clearly focused. You all don't have the opportunity to watch Mark preach. Actually, quite a bit, actually. Now. I get to see him on a weekly basis. He does this almost all the time. However this is worded, his slides, he always uses a PowerPoint. History points will have the wording that's implied by the main by the topic. The other night I preached a lesson the other day on Saturday about why churches need elders. And my main points were they need them because one, because two, because three. Exactly what you're talking about. So that's a great thing to do, just in terms of ensuring the relationship between your main points and your topic.
It's
a great point. Other questions? Or do you want to do your task? Or are you guys trying to avoid your task? I'm kidding. Brother David?
What if there are compelling situations, like if you talk about the fruit of the spirits, there are six of them there, and then is it wrong then if I just have 6 points? Because there are six fruit of the spirits?
No. Let me tell you something. Going through this exercise with your topics is something I recommend you always do. I think you'd agree with
that.
And if you can do this, then you're allowed to do some variations from it. And there are situations where you might want to vary things. But even when you vary things, the relationship between the topic and the main points should be clear, narrowly focused, memorable, and not leave lots of extra room for things later. So if you think you can preach a lesson on the fruits of the Spirit, and you want to, in 30 to 40 minutes, and you're going to go down to each of those, which only gives you about 5 minutes per fruit. Then you can do that. Because that doesn't violate the relationship of the focus there. Or you might want to take one fruit and have six lessons
rather than trying to cram them all into one.
That's the other part about focusing, and what happens when you deviate too much from this is you end up trying to talk about a lot in a relatively short period of time, and you have to be, you know, just brutal in cutting things out, and you're going to go, you're going to want to keep putting things in, and you're going to end up with an hour sermon, and when you started, you thought you had a 35-minute sermon. Other questions? We might not have time for that.
No, we have time.
We do have time? All right. So take 5 minutes and come up with a topic and three main points for a sermon you're working on. All right? Everybody going to do that?
One per month. No, it was 5 minutes.
Right now. And then we're going to ask for a volunteer or two to put them on the board. We got some things to put up here? Yes? Yeah. All right, before we do, I thought I would, based on a comment or two that we had, I'll show you the basic outline for any sermon. If you're outlining it, you're
going
to start with an introduction. We didn't talk about that. Mark's going to talk about that. We didn't talk about we did kind of talk about the conclusion, didn't we? But not much. We didn't talk about that. What we talked about is that part right there. How to have a focused topic and some main points that relate directly to that topic. And the topic is narrow enough that when you get your main points, that's most of what there is to talk about on that topic. Unless you're going to do a series. And you're going to come back next Sunday and talk about some more, or next month. But even then, you get the point.
Alright,
who can give us an example of a topic that they've got narrowed down and focused? Yes, sir.
This is not mine.
That's okay. We'll do it.
This is for Paul. Yes, also Paul. No.
Not this Paul.
For Peter. Acts chapter 2. I just took Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
I have the topic as Jesus is the Christ. First major point, voice of prophecy. Voice of prophecy. Verse 14 to 21.
Is this prophet?
Verse 14 to 21?
Yeah. Number two, proof from the life and the miracles of Jesus Christ. 22 to 23. Number three, Jesus was raised, 24
to 35.
So you're asking me to critique Peter. That's a tough one. All right, so I'm going to ask you, what do you think in terms of what we talked about? James?
Well, if we stop right there,
then we don't have any application.
We haven't really talked about how to get application.
Well, Peter gives you that.
Peter does. You know, we get down here. That might be his conclusion.
I took 36 to be conclusion, and then the rest I thought it was just look.
The result, yeah. Take a little side street here for a second. And I think this is, we really don't have time to talk fully about this. Mark will probably, I'm sure, talk more about it during the day, but how do you get application into your main points and into your lesson? There's two most common ways, or easiest ways, I
guess.
How do you do that? What's one way?
You can do it as you go along.
You do as you go. You have an application for your first point. You have an application that comes out of your second point. You have an application out of your third point. Or sometimes you talk about all three points, and your application is at the end, right? And sometimes in that case, the application at the end might actually be part of your conclusion. What we need to be careful about when that happens, though, is what? It's preaching a second sermon in the conclusion. We don't want two sermons. We want one sermon. So, it's okay to put it there, but don't go off and start preaching a whole other sermon.
All right.
So, how might we word this? I think that's a fine wording. I don't have any problem with that. But to focus it for us today. How might we have worded it for that audience?
Peter was answering,
what do you think
just
happened?
Yeah.
What do you that's
he's answering that question. Okay.
He's trying to prove what?
How you can know for sure that Jesus is the Christ.
But if you'd given them that as the topic, they would have stopped listening.
Okay. Well, you don't have to give your topic when you start.
Doesn't hurt though.
I'm not getting a call.
But if your topic is going to bias people, they're just going to shut down. They're not going to listen. How do you lead them to where you want them to go?
If your audience is going to shut down, if you tell them the topic, then you don't tell them the topic right off the bat. That would be true.
Okay, but look at Paul in Acts 17. He does not start by saying Jesus is the Christ. He says, I'm going to proclaim the unknown God. So that's an example of what you're talking about. You don't always tell them up front. But in this sermon...
But his sermon is still focused with points.
Yes.
He knew it.
Yeah, Mark and I were talking here for a minute, and he made a great point. I'm going to steal here, which is, how can the people listening to you know what you're talking about if you don't know what you're talking about? And Paul in Acts 17 and Peter in Acts 2, they knew what they were talking about, right? They were focused on where they were going. And the fact that they didn't state the topic, whoever said that up front, doesn't deny the fact that that was the topic. He put his main points and he put the topic at the end, right? That this Jesus who you crucified. We might word it how? So we said, how can we be sure that this Jesus is the Christ? Who is Christ? And if we did that, we say, we can be sure because the prophets told us about him. We can be sure because his life and miracles showed it. And his resurrection showed it. See how that fits together? So that really works well, doesn't it? Peter had a nice focused topic. I'm not going to deny that. If we all could be so effective. All right. Is there anybody here who has one that they're working on? Joel.
Alright. How to judge cultural traditions.
Okay.
So what you go the amasego abantu what's gonna do one.
Right. First point, by whether they violate God's law. Second point, by whether they glorify God or take glory away from Him.
I'm going to
shorten it just a little bit.
Okay, that's fine. And three, by whether they show wisdom to those around you.
All right, so a couple of things that we talked about, tests to run it by. The first test is, do these three main points all relate back directly to the topic?
Do they?
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Right. Second test.
Now the test is me.
Can we think of anything else about how you judge? Is there a bunch of leftovers that we can think of? Anybody? That's a good answer. That's the right answer. So if there's not, then you know it's pretty narrowly focused, right? Right. Now, what did we not do in that? We didn't judge whether these are the right main points, did we? What we're trying to do is whether this is a focused. And the focus means, can we clearly identify what the topic is, and is there a limited number of main points to talk to that topic? James, it looked like you wanted to say something.
No, I was just thinking that the topic is actually an application of the points that you would make for other behaviors. I was thinking about the application. In fact, the application, the topic is the application. You're taking other principles and you're applying them to that topic.
Yeah.
Uthu James ngeke wona ukukhuluma ngahlobo ukukhuluma ngezinto ezisebenza
ukuthi. You might give examples, but I was just thinking that.
So, it, yeah. So, sermon topics can have a variety of ways of looking at them, right?
Sure.
So it's basically how to judge anything you're going to be involved in, but only applying it to cultural traditions. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Uthi ngiyiphe into uwasifilisa kanjani enye into kodwa okwamanje sisakhuluma ngokwesiko.
Okay, I like it. Looks pretty focused to me, Mark. You have any thoughts about that one? That's good, I like it.
Right. Come to the workshop, get a free sermon. It's awesome.
The other thing that's important just to remember is, and I kind of skipped over this earlier, is make sure your main points are distinct and separate from each other. Another test would be, is any of the main points just a different way of saying what you've already said? And while there's a point for repetition and redundancy in learning, generally speaking, we want the points to be separate as we make them. So is violating God's law, glorifying God, and showing wisdom, are those separate points?
Yeah.
I think they are. Well, let's do one more, and then we'll stop. Who's got another one? Anybody? Going once?
Giving with the
eye. Oh boy.
Giving with a cheerful heart.
All right.
Miguel and his here for my.
Okay.
One, am I obligated to give?
Okay.
Two.
Two. Is there a certain amount I should give?
All right, so let's talk about this one. What do y'all think? So three and the topic look a lot alike, don't they? Which tells us immediately what?
Paul?
I don't see how points 1 and 2 prove the cheerful heart are.
Okay, that's the question we're going to get to in a second. Hang on to that question. Let's look at having a main topic with one of your main points, subpoints, be virtually the same. What do we do with that? We combine them? That's one possibility.
Subpoints would be for number three. Might in fact have been the main points.
All right. So we can do our outline further down. You know where we did 1, 2, A, you know, was B, C. A then has 1, A, B, 2. It's got some subpoints and some illustrations of scriptures and those kinds of things if you outline it. So, there might be an A, a B, and a C here. And guess what? That might be our sermon.
Yes.
Right? What does it mean to have a cheerful heart when you give? It has 3 points that explain that. Might be our sermon. And that's exactly what we do when we, what I want you to do when you start outlining it is that kind of check and say, wait a minute, maybe I've got 2 lessons here on giving. And one is about what?
Giving.
How much to give. What the Bible says about giving. I'm not sure what all those would be.
When to give.
How much to give. And the second one might be, what does it mean to have a cheerful heart when you give? That's one possibility. What's the second possibility?
Well,
you can connect the obligation to give to, it doesn't mean that. You can connect that back to having a cheerful heart, attitude.
You're going to change the subject, aren't you? Just change the subject. You're going to change that topic.
We're going to go back up here to this, and we're going to rename it. We're going to refocus it. Sounds like Italian when you say that. We're going to rename this. Right? So let's, I'm going to leave that up there. What might we, how might we name this talk, this sermon?
New Testament giving.
Okay, here's one. New Testament giving. And if we do that, we probably have to rework these a little bit, right? And what might those points be? This is working out really nicely. How about when I give?
Mm-hmm.
How much I give?
Mm-hmm.
And 3, how I feel when I give. Or the attitude I have to have when I give. Alright? So we've started out with a topic that we wanted to speak about. And we really wanted to focus on the cheerful heart part. But we started outlining it, we kind of got, this kind of main point that overlapped with the topic. Got a little confusing for our audience. And when we put it on paper, we could see that that point and that point were the same. So we're faced with a couple of choices. We could really talk just about cheerful heart, which might be what we want to talk about. Or we might want to talk about all of this. So we have to somehow redefine our main point. Our main topic. And then that lets us do these kinds of things. Right. And then the question is there anything about when I give, besides when I give, how much I give, and how I feel when I give?
The attitude I have when I give.
It should be
how
I feel. Is there anything else about giving?
Who am I giving to?
Okay. Who to?
Who?
Anything else?
What am I giving?
What?
What are you giving? Why? Maybe that's attitude. Yeah.
And the why would probably be this one, I think. Part of it could be wrapped into that. What? Talk to me about what I give. What do you mean by that?
I'm talking about money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you could probably wrap that into this is how much. You can't read it, but it says how much.
Oh.
And I think that what could be in there. And if you really want to talk about who to, what would you have to be careful about? In this sermon, what do you not want to talk about?
Well, then
you're
going to
wander off into the work of the church.
About what the money's used for. That's another sermon. Don't make this so much that you end up with two sermons down here below. You just
got
to be really careful about it. It's easy to do. Or even three sometimes. So you could end up in this one with a sermon that gets all of the kind of points we wanted originally, but we have to redefine it and make sure we're doing it right. Probably wouldn't get into maybe who I give to or what the money's used for or those kinds of things. We'll leave that for another sermon. The when, the how, and the attitude. Great sermon. Or we want to preach on how to what does it mean to have a cheerful heart. And we develop three main points under that. And that's a really great focus sermon too.
Right.
See the problems? You don't find them as you start putting on paper and talking about loud and see how they relate to each other. Sometimes these great ideas in our head just don't work out when we start and who suffers when that happens? It's not the preacher. Although you may feel that way when you're preaching. It's your audience. Because when they get asked on Tuesday, what you preach about, say, I don't know, something about money. I'm not quite sure. You don't want
them
to say that. You want them to say, he talked about what it meant to be a cheerful giver. Clear and focused and memorable.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.